This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora, this is MS Momentum. My name is Katie Burns. I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago. MS Momentum is our monthly podcast on ORFM, talking all things related to MS and above for people across Otago. Today I am talking with Tilly Lassman, who is a registered social worker working in the Dunedin area for a number of years, and she has been doing some research particularly related to having the experience of having a parent with MS. So thank you, Tilly, for coming on the show today and having a chat with us about that.
It's a pleasure to be here.
As I said, the research you've been doing is about the experience of having a parent or caregiver with MS as a child or young person. And that's quite a, I think, kind of niche area of research to get into. It's not something we really hear a lot about. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested to hear about how you kind of got into that research and what kind of compelled you to look at that area of MS.
Absolutely. Well, it's a deeply personal topic for me because I am actually the child of a parent with MS. My dad was diagnosed back in 1999 when I was 5 years old, so I'll leave the listeners out there to do the math at my age. But when he passed away when I was 21, my whole family was left with all this knowledge about what it was to be the family of somebody with multiple sclerosis. And we kind of felt like there was this void, like, what do we do with all this awareness that we have? And my mom, brother, and I all had experiences meeting people just in our day-to-day lives who had MS or might have had a parent with MS or was connected somehow. And we would always feel this really deep connection with strangers so quickly. And it kind of got me thinking, I've got to do something with this knowledge. I didn't live a whole lifetime, you know, next to MS and being affected by it, just to have it all go by the wayside. So in time, I developed this idea that I really want to work with children of chronically ill parents. And that's what led me to studying social work. And so I've now done 2 master's degrees focusing on children of parents with chronic illness. And in my latest piece of work, I really, the majority of the people I worked with and interviewed were adults who had parents with MS, but they were reflecting on their experience as children. And so it became a lot about collecting their stories, because the overwhelming theme really was, nobody's ever asked me about this before, but we had this shared experience, and there was just this connection that comes from talking about something quite vulnerable when you've also shared the experience. And so that's where the research came from.
Yeah, I think, and I really love what you touched on there on sharing stories. You know, we all have stories to tell, and it's actually not very often that we do get the opportunity to share those stories and really reflect on kind of what that meant for us at that particular time in our lives, and how that kind of how that experience shaped who we are. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's really important research to do. Yeah,
I agree, and I think it's so important to, like, we're in a world where, you know, maybe 2 generations ago the predominant idea was children are to be seen and not heard. And we're, as a society, shifting from that and holding more space for children's voices. And that's a lot of what I want to do here is, you know, going from interviewing adults who are reflecting on their experience as children with parents with MS, we're just going to start moving into the space of working with children actively in that area, so that we can hear their voice and maybe even feedback to their parents what their needs are if we can. But it's an emerging space for research, definitely, and something that I think is really valuable and important for entire families, as well as, you know, medical research and so on, to look at how MS touches every life. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm. It's very fascinating, and this is probably a bit of a loaded question, but what was the most, I guess, surprising thing to you that came out of that research, or the thing that most stood out to you? Or common themes?
What really stood out to me and admittedly kind of broke my heart was the feelings of guilt that a lot of adults had who I interviewed. So again, for context, I was interviewing adults who were children of people with MS and other chronic illness. And almost everybody said, if I had known then what I know now, I would have treated my parent differently. And I that just really was so devastating to hear, because so often we're doing the best with what we've got, right? So kids might not even know the depth of what their parent is going through, and it's up to each family to make decisions of what they share with their kids. But to be an adult and looking back, particularly around things like fatigue and the hidden symptoms of MS, where kids might really need their parent to come play with them, but the parent just doesn't have it to give. And when there's a lack of understanding through nobody's fault, it means that then when that child becomes an adult, they can look back and say, oh, my mom just didn't have it in her, or my dad or whomever, my caretaker. And they can have sympathy for their parent in hindsight, but that sympathy kind of gets cloaked as guilt. And I think that's something I'd really love to try to help avoid for anybody I can work with, is how do we help young people understand what their parents going through for their sake and for their parents' sake? You know, I think more understanding allows for hopefully reduced guilt in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, I, as a parent myself, I know that we often try to shield our children from, you know, from adult problems and from sometimes from realities or situations, and for very good reasons, you know, like kids, it's not good always for kids to know every single little thing that's going on. But what I have found is that kids know when something's happening. They know when something's up. And if we don't kind of talk to them about it in a child-appropriate way, they will fill in the blanks themselves. And quite often those blanks are worse. Their imagination is worse than what the real reality of the situation is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I was really touched by in this research was this this idea around parent blaming and how important it is to avoid that, to be upset at MS rather than to be upset at mum's fatigue or mum's changing cognition or changing abilities just generally. I think that's huge, because if we're looking at this kind of work and parents are feeling guilt or feeling shame, then we've done it incorrectly. We haven't made the mark, because this is nobody's fault, obviously. Nobody chooses to get MS or any other chronic condition. But like you said, it is the reality. And so it's about finding ways to communicate with kids what they need to know, what parents are comfortable with them knowing, so that everybody can respect each other's boundaries and hopefully have really good relationships within the family.
Yeah, absolutely. We are just going to take a super quick ad break and we'll be right back.
MS Otago aims to empower people with multiple sclerosis and their support networks by providing them with information and skills to participate actively in the community in ways that are meaningful to them. You can find us at Dunedin Community House and online at msotago.org.nz, or you can give us a call on 027 889 9035. MS Otago, working for the people of Otago.
If you're just joining us, this is MS Momentum. My name is Katie Burns. I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago. And MS Momentum is our monthly podcast on ORFM. Today I am talking with Tilly Lessman, who is a social worker with two master's degrees. who has been doing research in the field of the experience of being a child or growing up with a parent or caregiver with MS or a chronic health condition. And so before the break, we talked a little bit about Tilly's background, is her personal experience of having a parent with MS who was diagnosed when Tilly was five. And then we also talked a little bit about your research, and a lot of the common theme that came out of that was like, guilt as an adult looking back and not, I guess, not understanding at the time really kind of what was really going on. And I think that's, you know, there's probably a common theme again across the age span almost. We, in my experience and working in this kind of field, is that the people with the health condition themselves don't always feel comfortable sharing with the people around them what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then the people around them don't really understand what's going on for that person. Mm. And so then it becomes this big kind of miscommunication, I suppose. Mm. And it can be quite tricky for not just for families to navigate, but for friends and workplaces. And it kind of goes out into lots of different facets of people's lives.
It does.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm curious to know, I know you said that your research so far has kind of worked on people who are now adults who had the experience, so they're kind of reflecting back on growing up. And you mentioned that you would like to, you know, kind of move into more of a space of working with children who actively now have a parent or caregiver with MS or chronic illness. Mm. And so I'm curious to know what that might look like for you and what differences you think you might find in those two different types of research.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, gosh, where to start? So the first and most exciting thing is I'll shamelessly plug our group that's coming up. I brought an idea to MS Otago and had fleshed it out with you. Around having a group for children who have a parent with MS. And so that's going to start up in a couple of months. Stay tuned and keep an eye out for that. And that's going to look like a group of kids aged 8 to 16, a small group for a limited time where we really focus on learning from them about their experience while also trying to bring in some different language. I think language is one of the most powerful tools we as social work and therapists have at our disposal. So I often talk about something called externalizing, which is a narrative therapy principle where rather than being mad at a parent who might have changing abilities, we're being mad at the MS for doing it to the parent. And so we're kind of shifting the focus here. And if as a whole family system, we can shift the focus to where the blame and shame is coming from so that it doesn't have to be felt by the parent themselves, I think that's really powerful. So that's something we'll be focusing on in the group. And beyond that, I've got a private practice where I welcome people to come in if they're interested in doing this kind of work, whether that's as a family or as individuals for young people, really to be able to have a space for them to talk about what it's like, because they might not have the language. That's something like when I was doing my interviews with adults, a lot of them said, I've never been asked this before. So it took a little bit of time to feel comfortable chatting to one another to discuss these extremely vulnerable things. So I think as I move forward into working with young people, what I really want to do is focus on language and focus on how we position ourselves with MS. And if we can be feeling our feelings towards the thing itself rather than the person who's living with it, I think that that creates a lot more space for understanding. And when you've got people like yourselves involved in a family's life, you can help with that languaging. And yeah, I think it's about creating a little bit of space for kids to feel what they're feeling about it. Because I remember feeling really frustrated about things that my dad couldn't do, or not understanding why he was so limited. And I don't know that it really was his responsibility to explain all that. I often thought maybe there's someone else who should be able to come in and help with that. So that's where I look to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And I think, you know, I'm personally obviously very excited about this group. It's something that, as far as I'm aware, no one else is doing in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very, I guess, groundbreaking in terms of really looking at what the experience of children and youth are, like you say, in the moment. And yeah, I guess for me, I'm really excited to be able to have an external person or external people that these children and these youth can come to ask questions that they might not feel comfortable asking their parents, you know, and we're obviously not going to have every answer, and we can't answer questions on, you know, individual people's, you know, anything, but for just having it, like I said, an outlet for them to come to and be like, well, what, I don't even really understand what MS is, or I don't even really understand, you know, like what is this? I've heard the word spasm, but I don't know what that means. Or I've heard the word fatigue, but I don't really know what that means. Like, can you, you know?
And I think it's really important, too, because these things spill out into different areas of a child's life, just like they do for the person who has MS. But it might be, you know, a common experience that I had growing up was teachers and other people in my community actually shaming me for the lack of volunteering that my dad could do. And I think that that was a really inappropriate thing to have happen. And if kids can stand in their mana and be able to say, my parent has MS, and so they do the best they can. And I think that we should be really proud of everything that a person with MS can do. And if a child can stand in that light and stand up for their parent, hopefully they never have to. But we live in a world where not everybody knows what MS is and how it limits things. So if I think, you know, knowledge is power. So if kids can advocate for themselves and their parents, that's wonderful.
Mm. Yeah, it's important. Absolutely. Mm. And I think MS can be quite isolating for the person that has it, but for also the people around them, especially depending on the level of comfortability the person with MS has in terms of saying, I have MS in a public kind of space, whether that's to their employers or their school or the children's schools or anything like that. So, I think it also gives these children who might not know anyone else who has a parent or a caregiver with MS or a chronic illness to connect with each other as well.
Yeah, I think one of the real goals and hopes that I have for this group is that there's, you know, I think we're hoping to have about 8 people in the group. And if we're fortunate enough to have that many, I hope that that's 8 fewer people who ever have to say, nobody's ever asked me about this when they're older. Or a lot of people have said to me, I've never met someone else who had a parent with MS. And I just, again, that just kind of breaks my heart. So what if we could, you know, create that space, which is what we're doing, so that kids can learn from each other and be able to confide in each other? Because it might be that therapy or counseling isn't really appropriate for them for any number of reasons. But if they've got a friend who gets it, the intention for this group is that at the end, anybody who's comfortable exchanges contact details so that they've got their own natural supports now. I think that's crucial because professional intervention isn't for everybody. But if you've got a friend who's in your age bracket who you can say anything you need to about your experience and they get it, I think that's really where the magic is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we see, you know, in our groups for adults, right? You know, you have people come along and they have MS and they've either had MS for a number of years or they're new to MS and they connect with other people and they can say, you know, they can say something and everyone else in the group just automatic, they don't have to explain it. They just understand. Without this kind of extra barrier in the way.
Not having to explain yourself is such a good point because when people don't get it, and you know, it's for this audience, you'll understand. Personally, MS is kind of an invisible disease. So if people don't know your parent has it, and it's something that you can choose to disclose, that's a very private and personal choice. But if you don't have to explain it and explain what fatigue is on top of how it's affecting your life, it almost becomes like this backpack you have to carry around of like explaining a situation over and over and over again. And if you can have a reprieve from that, you finally get to put this load down. I think that's... Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an extra thing on top of, isn't it? You know, and I think that's something that a lot of people that I work with have said to me is like, well, I just don't tell anybody or I just don't say that I've got fatigue that day because they don't want to have to explain it. Totally. You know, they don't want to have that extra burden on themselves to be like, you know, well, this is what this is and this is how it affects me and this is what this means, you know.
You almost have to become a flag bearer of MS when you're affected by it, whether you have it or it's in your family. You have to become this champion for it. And you know, the world is complicated enough. If it's one less thing you have to go around explaining, I think it frees up some space for understanding, hopefully.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And And again, like getting back to, you know, if you're 8 years old, 12 years old, 16, you just want to be a kid or be a teenager. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have to do all that stuff as well, right? Yeah. Like, you just want to be a normal kid.
Totally.
And that's probably a pretty common, you know, experience across the across the lifespan, really. I would suspect, and I mean, obviously I don't know this, we haven't started the group yet, but I would suspect that a lot of kids just want to be a normal kid. They don't want to be the kid that has a parent with MS.
Yeah, and it's a funny space because it is just the reality. I think that's the bit that I'm always stuck on. And I've heard other professionals say, like, well, it is just the young person's reality, so they kind of have to get on with it, which, you know, is a really tough stance to take. But there is some truth in it in terms of it is the reality. And so how I follow that up is, so why aren't we talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
It is the reality. I don't think it's just on the fano to have to just, you know, pick up their bootstraps and get on with it. Actually, we as a community can work together, and that's why MS Otago is here, to support communities. And now, you know, they've branched out and are addressing the needs of young people, because this is a reality that stays with you for life. It doesn't just go away when you've aged out of being in your parents' home. It's something that touches you long term, and that's actually one of the things the research shows, is that there are long-term developmental impacts that can affect children who have parents with MS. That can look like increased risk of developing generalized anxiety, depression, and somatization, which is the physical manifestation of mental distress. And I thought, when I read that, I thought, that's so important to know. So, you know, you might be an adult who has eczema, for example, and it's anxiety-induced eczema that could potentially be traced back to experiences of having to, you know, hide your parents' illness, or having to explain it over and over again, or any of these repercussions we've talked about. But it does leave, I think of it almost like a little thumbprint in the sand, kind of. It does leave a little mark. And some people will be more affected than others. As we all know, MS is so diverse. No two people have the same experience. But if we can try to reduce some of that risk for young people by giving them an outlet to speak about it, then we might be doing some long-term good, which is worth everything, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And again, you know, like, talking about that, yeah, I want to really, really get through to people, because obviously most people who are listening to this will be adults themselves, and potentially they're adults with MS, and potentially they're adults with MS that have children.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to really, really, like, you know, get through to everybody who's listening. This is not about parent blaming. This is not about saying, like, well, you have MS and then all these things will happen to your children, you know.
Correct.
It's not at all about that. It's about really understanding how the children and youth are affected.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can use that to work with parents to, you know, find better ways forward.
Absolutely.
And if you're a parent who already has adult children, you know, who grow up with you having MS, again, it's not about saying, well,
you know. Exactly. Yeah, because how can we blame somebody where there's no understanding? And that's kind of, we're in these, like, really, really infantile baby steps of developing this program and learning. The big thing is, we'll want to learn from Fano and from Tamariki about their experience, so that we can develop systems so that parents don't have to feel this shame or blame, because there is no fault on the parent for this. Nobody woke up one morning and said, I think I'd like to develop MS and have it have impacts on myself, my kids, my family, my work, etc. Nobody did that. So I agree with you. Make it extraordinarily clear. I don't believe in parent blaming, point blank. I don't. That said, we need to start somewhere, and it needs to start from a place of vulnerability. And that's why I will often speak about my own experience, because it's important to note that I'm not someone coming into this space to wag my finger at you and say, you should have talked about this and why didn't you this? None of that. It's to say, nobody talked about this when I was a kid. I didn't know anybody else with MS, a parent with MS when I was a kid. And when I was an adult and met some people like that, it was like we were family. We had this connection that you can't describe. And it was life-changing for myself, and I think for them to a degree. to be able to have that safety of saying, wow, that was really hard. But I don't blame my parent, mm-hmm. not at all. But it is the reality we were faced with.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And I think that, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I think a lot of the times where people struggle is where we sit between that space of the reality of a situation and where we wish things were.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, and sitting mm-hmm. in between that of like, well, this is where I am, but this is where I wish it was. And, mm-hmm. and that's really difficult. And I think just talking about that is mm-hmm. so healing within itself
mm-hmm.
because I feel like after that we can kind of face the reality of the situation
mm-hmm.
rather than just continuously staying in this space.
Absolutely.
Where we're kind of, yeah, I call it the in-between.
Yeah, it's a great way to phrase it because I often take myself back to a Maya Angelou quote. And for any Maya Angelou fans, I apologize if I get this a little wrong, but it's do the best with what you can. And when you know better, do better.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're trying to do is learn from people. And we're trying to remove shame and externalize where we're placing our feelings. We're angry or frustrated or hurt by MS, not by our parent. Because, again, nobody woke up one morning and said, well, I'd love to be in this situation. But it is the situation they're in. So let's learn and let's do better and let's grow. And through every interaction we have with young people, with parents, families, educators, professionals, researchers, we're learning and we're building a body of work and knowledge that hopefully can come into families and help reduce some of the angst that comes from having a parent with MS.
Yeah, absolutely. We are unfortunately out of time. If anybody who is listening is interested in their child or youth joining the group, then you can email me, so katie.burns@msotago.org.nz. The group will be starting on Thursday the 14th of May at Fairfield Hall at 3:30 p.m. It is important that everybody pre-registers, so there is a registration form. So if you want access to that registration form, you can find it on in our newsletter, you can find it on our social media pages, or like I said, you can just email me. Tilly, I think that we could probably talk about this for hours and hours and hours. So I'm wondering if we can get you back on for another show next month. Perfect. So I will wrap the show up now and we will see you, we'll talk to you again next month.
Thanks so much, Katie.
You've been listening to MS Momentum, brought to you on the third Wednesday of the month by me, Katie Burns, Community Connector for MS Otago. You can listen again to this episode and find other podcasts from this series at oir.org.nz and on your favourite podcast platforms. To contact MS Otago, you can email info@msotago.org.nz or call us on 027 889 9035. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.